Ciao Luca, how are you? Being in solitude is much well. On one way, it is leads to better concentration. On the other hand, you know, I mean, it is more boring.
I don't find boring because my delusions become more real. You know.
Your delusions become more real.
Yes, like thoughts and emotions seem more real when I'm alone.
Mm.
Before, when I had a lot of things to do all the time, I didn't even have time to do.
Mm.
And right now, things are just coming up.
Don't worry. Don't worry. I had enough butter today. There was lots of butter in there. Just give me some coffee. And is it always the same thing? You know, I mean, if it's always the same thing, it's always the same subject, then investigate it. Yeah? If it's not the same subject, you know, then just try to replace it, hammer it down. Yeah?
What does it mean to investigate? When you're thinking of a person, for example, what do you do?
Hmm? Yeah, it depends on, you know, I mean, thinking of a person is not what I, you know, there's nothing you can investigate. You can investigate situations that happen with this person. It has to be always the same thing. It has to be the same rhyme, you know, before we should investigate. Otherwise, you investigate the whole day. Yeah, and that is not useful. Something that is really disturbing and comes always as the same theme. Yeah, that's then you investigate what is the cause of it.
And how do you investigate? Do you just...
First of all, you look at the situation, yeah? And then feel the feeling that comes with the situation. And then wait until the feeling passes away. And therefore, you probably need your breath or, you know, something to focus on, yeah? And then look, you know, what was underneath it, yeah? I mean, we can only see what is underneath something. I mean, if we let it pass away on its own, yeah? If you try to make it go away, that's not, we are not going to see clear. Yeah? It is just like a lake, you know, I mean, when it is really driven by wind and rain, you know, I mean, the surface is not, what do you say, it's not even.
I can sit and meditate.
Yeah.
And thoughts don't come up that much.
Uh-huh.
At least when I'm, like, in path meditation, this thoughts it doesn't come up. But as soon as I finish, it just come up.
Okay. And is it always the same thing?
It's not this. It's the same thing.
Mm.
Regret or a sense that I kind of owe my family, and I'm letting my family down by being my mom.
Okay.
Do something.
There's something. Then you should do. Yeah. I mean, regret is always coming from the Kilesa. Yeah. I mean, there you have to counteractor. Yeah? You say, I mean, I can do much more if I meditate and share the merit with all my family members. Yeah? Yeah. I mean, doesn't seem to them anything, you know, but they will evaluate, you know, once they are dead. Yeah? Yeah. And even sometimes, you know, sometimes they get it even earlier. Yeah, I mean, if they are in a receptive state. Yeah? Because the once you share the merit with these people, yeah, and say, you know, if you've done something wrong, yeah, ask them for forgiveness. You don't have to write letters or emails. Don't. Don't. You know, you picture the situation, you picture that person, and ask that person for forgiveness. Yeah? You do that if it was really heavy. I mean, you have to do that maybe 5 or 10 times. Yeah. Please forgive me, you know, and may you take share in my merit that I've done, you know, since I practiced or whatever, or the whole life, yeah. And then you will see. If you work with this like this, yeah, I mean, after 10 times it doesn't come up anymore. It's gone. It has passed on. Yeah.
Just meditate and dedicate your merits.
Yeah. I mean, you can dedicate also the merit, you know, I mean, looking after this person, after that person from your Layla. Yeah? Mm-hmm. But you really picture that person, yeah? You picture the situation, yeah? And then you ask that person, you know, for forgiveness. And this person will know it instantly. Yeah? But it might be not conscious, or most likely it's not conscious. And the same thing you do with your parents and your brothers and sisters, you know, whoever you care for, yeah? May they take care, you know, may they take a share in my merit, yeah? Or for mother and father, I mean, what you can do is, yeah, you give some donation to the monastery, yeah, and dedicate it in their name, yeah. Not just give it, you know, and then share the merit of this, because then it is also your merit, yeah. In their name, give something, you know. I mean, be it food or be it, you know, be it this or be it that, yeah. And they will receive it, yeah. And if it's your parents, they will receive it 100%. If it's your siblings, you know, I mean, that depends on the karma that you have with your siblings. Yeah?
I'm dedicating the merit of the meditation, which I do often in the evening. Sometimes, in general, I have the feeling that the maid doesn't affect me because you can't see it. If you give them something, you can see that.
Like if you're present, you see if you do internet banking, do you see the money that you give them? See? But they get it. I mean, that is what people in the West don't understand it. Yeah. I mean, there is something that is beyond, you know, our ability to see. I mean, we have to trust in that in the beginning. Yeah? They do get it.
Sometimes they do metta meditation,
yeah.
Or even normal meditation, and they feel very good, and I feel like talking to my family and saying like good things to them, or trying to share something about Buddhism because I'm feeling so well and I want them to feel.
Don't.
They just hit a wall.
Don't. Yeah. Of course. Buddhism is not a teaching to preach others. Buddhism is a teaching to follow the path. Yeah? What you can share is the merit of your actions, and they can receive it. But nobody wants to hear about Buddhism, you know? And especially not this kind of Buddhism. Yeah? And ask yourself, why do you want to convince others? Yeah? You can only the only reason why you want to convince others that you are doing something fine is because you're not sure of it.
No, it is regret.
You're not sure of it. You're uncertain, and that's why you want to convince others. You have the feeling if you can convince another person that what you're doing is great, yeah, then you feel a little bit of false security, yeah.
Family, some very
specific people. Yeah, and that, yeah, but it's the same thing. I never wanted, you know, I never wanted to teach my parents, yeah. Buddhism is there to wait, yeah. If they see you change, then they come with questions, and then you can tell them something.
Is it good actually? What I notice is that when people hear that I'm interested in Buddhism or that I practice meditation, they sometimes ask, how far should you go in teaching, or, I mean, in answering their questions?
It depends on the level of their understanding. And you have to be really careful. I mean, you say two sentences and then their interest drops and then you should stop. Because then, for two sentences they are interested, or maybe three sentences, yeah, or 2 minutes they are interested, yeah, and then the interest drops, and if you continue, then you just do the opposite, yeah. It has a negative effect on them, yeah. But as long as you answer only their questions, then it's fine. So don't go into all your excitement.
So now you referred on their level.
Yeah.
Of interest, but I mean, how much should you say if yourself are very advanced?
Nothing. Just the basic.
Just the basic.
Mm-hmm. I started with practicing in 89. And I was talking about Buddhism in 2002. That's a, how many years? 14 years?
13.
13 years. Yeah, thank you. during this time I answered only questions. I don't know. If they asked me about samadhi, because I was good in samadhi, I could tell them how to get there, yeah. But everything else I didn't know. I didn't understand. You understand? If you understand, you can teach. If you don't understand, you can't teach.
Because their journey is
on contact with people. Just a moment. Can you turn off this fan? I mean, it's noisy. It's close into my ears. Yeah, so.
But the monks, they are not in contact with people.
Yeah.
So I feel that I would be isolated from doing merit to people.
So why?
Because I don't know. I feel that maybe I have a Christian background. It's because I have a Christian background.
Every one of us has a Christian background.
And I have the idea that a priest should be talking to people, helping them out, like being in close contact. And I feel that just to isolate myself in samadhi.
Yeah.
I feel guilty.
What?
I feel guilt.
Yeah. And I understood, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And this guilt comes from the kilesa. I mean, know or trust in the Buddha's teaching. Yeah? That sharing merit, you know, is very high merit, you know. Doing good, you know, for yourself, yeah. I mean, you do good for the whole, yeah, for all the beings. This is something the Christians cannot see. I mean, that we're just talking about things that we cannot see. And there are, yeah. I mean, once a monk becomes accomplished, you know, I mean, there's no problem. I mean, otherwise, why should I sit here, you know? But how long did I train for that? To be able to sit here. I had to be in isolation for 13 years. And some monks have to be in isolation for 40 years. Or for their whole life and still don't get, you know, still don't know. And it's not, yeah. I mean, there's no ounce of guilt, you know, that you should feel. Because you do something good, yeah. I mean, you have to understand one thing, yeah? That the nature of all beings, you know, be it animals, be it, you know, be it devas, be it being in the hell, or being human beings, yeah, have the same source. So whatever, you know, I mean, if you purify the water, if you start purifying the water, yeah, I mean, everyone is pure, you know, has some benefit of that. It's a, yeah, I mean, yes, this is very Christian, yeah, that we have to go and preach, yeah. But look at the preachers, look at the priests, yeah. What are they doing?
Drinking wine.
Sexual misconduct. And power play, yeah. In Rome. I mean, the last pope, the German pope, He couldn't, he wanted to clear up all the mess in the Vatican. And he decided he can't. So that's why he left.
Is there like, in Christianity there is like redemption for your past actions? if you truly regret, mm-hmm. you get absolved, and mm-hmm. somehow you get to a zero karma debt, something like mm-hmm. that. Is there something
no.
like...
Whatever you have done, yeah? I mean, think about it, yeah? You're at the top of the mountain, you know, I mean, and there's snow, you know, and you throw a stone in it, yeah?
Because some people say that if before you die, just at the last moments,
yeah.
you truly regret, you will have a good rebirth, mm-hmm. proper rebirth. They say that is the most important.
Yeah, in Buddhism it's just the other way around. Yeah? You don't think about your bad deeds because it instantly will lead you to hell. Yeah? Even if you regret them, it still leads you to hell. Yeah? You should think about the good deeds that you have done.
But is it true that the moments no. before you die?
Yeah, they are very important. In Buddhism and in Christianity, they are really important. Yeah? But as you understood.
I should think about the good deeds.
Yeah. Think about the good deeds, yeah. And that makes the heart lighter, yeah. Once the heart is lighter, it can easily pass on. And then it can decide, you know, some of us, you know, can decide where to go. If you think about all these bad deeds, even if you regret them, you end up in hell. Yeah? To pay your debt for it, yeah. So that's not really a good deed. That's not really a good thing, yeah, to do, yeah. Except if you say, okay, I have done enough bad deeds, you know, to go to hell for 100 years, you know, and I've done enough good deeds, you know, to go to heaven for 1,000 years, yeah. Maybe I pass on hell first, you know, and then go to heaven, yeah, before I go to heaven and then go to hell. Yeah, that is one thing. I mean, lots of things. Yeah. I mean, especially if you brought a very Christian, I mean, there are a lot of troubles that lay ahead. All these questions, you know, all these things, you know, that we absorbed unconsciously, yeah, will come up, yeah, and pose, you know, and the Kleshas will bring it up, you know, to make us make doubt, yeah. And doubt is never a good thing. Just go the path, you know, I mean. Trust the Kupa Achans, trust these masters in Thailand, yeah. They know what they are talking about. And remember what my teacher told me, yeah, about Christianity and Jesus, yeah, and all the religions. None of them was an arahant, you know, and all their kilesas flew into this religion. So, I mean, it is defiled by this. Every religion except for Buddhism is defiled.
Although I think when you would ask Christian, he wouldn't say that Jesus had defilements.
Huh?
If you ask a Christian,
yeah.
I think he wouldn't say that Jesus would, just Jesus had defilements.
Of course not. But you just look at the teaching. I mean, it is very difficult to tell because I mean we don't really know anything about Jesus. Yeah. But I mean, there are so many contradictions. Yeah. And he only, yeah, I mean, the thing where I make my conclusions from is, he only taught the way to heaven. Yeah? He didn't teach the way beyond heaven. That means he had defilements. Because also the devas, the heavenly beings, have defilements. The gods, they have defilements. And there's not only one God, you know. I mean, so if a Christian asks you, you know, I mean, don't you want to go to God, you know? I mean, go to heaven and see God, yeah? I said, which God? the God of the 16 gods, or the God of creation, or the God of destruction, or the God of this or that. There are many gods.
They wouldn't. They wouldn't say so.
No, the Christian wouldn't say so, but you can say so.
I don't know yet.
Yeah, I mean, that is, it has been. We have been induced by this theology, and that makes it sometimes difficult. So just, when this thought arises, just go back to Buddha. Is Achim's mother pretty Christian? Or?
Not too much, to be honest.
My father?
No. No, he's an atheist. He didn't want me to get baptized. But I have decided I won't teach RE next school year.
What?
I won't teach religion anymore next school year. I have quit.
Oh, you taught religion?
Yeah. RE.
Oh, religion. Various religion.
No. Good. Catholic.
Catholic?
Yeah, but I have quit. I've told them I can't do it anymore.
I don't believe it anymore.
I didn't say it this way, but I said personal reasons don't allow me to teach anymore, so I have to teach ethics next school year.
But I thought now you have the difficult.
Yeah, I have them too.
Oh, you have them too?
I have them 8 lessons, and the other 19 lessons I'm still at the same school.
Aww. Yeah, but you seem to have, Lucas and Samuel seem to have a lot of troubles with the religion, no?
I mean, not so much, but when I'm in contact with my father, then things come up, but normally I really don't believe you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There was a period in my life when I was a Christian, but then with 15 or 16, I just let it go, and I noticed I don't really believe it.
Yeah, but it will come up. I mean, you've been indoctrinated, or all of us have been indoctrinated, and that is something that we can't see, but it will come up during our practice. I mean, just accept it, and then replace it with Buddha and go on. It is only a belief system. Yeah? I mean, Christianity is a belief system. You have to believe in God, then you will be free. Yeah? I mean, Jesus never said that. Yeah, he said, the Sermon on the Mount. Yeah, I mean, this is something you always can tell anybody. I mean, Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount. Yeah, you remember the Sermon on the Mount? I mean, he knows it.
Of course I do.
Yeah, of course you do. It's so tough. So my mother said, "What are you doing?" I said, "You're a Christian." Yeah. You live according to the Sermon on the Mount? Oh, it's too difficult, I can't do that. So how can you call yourself a Christian? Huh? If it is not necessary, if you just have to believe in God to be saved, why did Jesus bother, to give the Sermon on the Mount, And quite a few other teaching, Let the dead bury the dead, Why did he say things like that? If you just believe in God, that would be the whole religion, And you would be safe,
When I was younger, I was very devout.
Yeah.
And I used to read the hymns. Mm-hmm. I would read them loud and feel very passionate. Mm-hmm. Like I ecstasy. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of faith. Mm-hmm. But I have trouble in Buddhism because I don't know how to place my faith. Because it doesn't matter if I put faith in the Buddha is not here around anymore.
But Jesus is not around anymore.
No, but in that belief system, he is. I mean, I just say.
Yeah, but the Buddha is still around, yeah?
But isn't he in Parinibbana?
Yeah, but he said one thing. Neither am I, nor am I not.
What does it mean he's still around?
That means he's still there. I mean, the citta doesn't go anywhere. The citta is never born and it doesn't die. Yeah? I mean, the nature of us is just like the drop of water. Yeah? I mean, it's a long fall, you know, from the rain clouds, you know, until we hit the ocean. Yeah? Once we hit the ocean, are we lost? Is the water drop lost? But the form is lost. So the form of the Buddha is lost, but the contents of the Buddha is not lost. I mean, there are three faith objects, you know, in Buddhism. It's just like, it's the same thing, you know. I mean, the Christians probably copied it, yeah. It's actually a translation, you know. I mean, in the Buddha, the teacher, in the Dhamma, the teaching, in the Sangha, the holy people, yeah. Oder? So said, oder? Dreieinigkeit, ja? Dreifaltigkeit, ja?
I thought the same in the past, yeah, yeah. Trinity.
Yeah. The Trinity is the same thing, yeah? Teaching faith in the Buddha, faith in the Dhamma, and it is teaching, yeah?
It is that idea.
And the Dhamma is also the truth, yeah?
Like about the Buddha, like about the Dhamma, I can depose a lot of faith because I can see it for myself, the results and my actions and the results. But as for the Buddha, I don't know. It's not like a Christianity that I had the feeling that someone was listening.
Oh.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk to God, you know. I mean, I know who was listening. It was you.
Imaginary friend.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Yeah, but I mean, that's what we often do. Yeah. I mean, what we do is, you know, we project our inner self onto other things. And then we think they are real, yeah? I mean, you see, you know, you're projecting your own faults onto somebody else, you know, and then you get angry.
But I don't mind the belief system. Why I really need is the faith.
Yeah. You don't have to have faith in the Buddha, you know, in the beginning it comes. The longer you go the path, the more you see that he's teaching the truth.
Because it was a physical sensation.
Yeah.
Like it was a very physical sensation, very,
yeah,
very real.
And we are less and less and less, you know, depending on the physical sensation and go more to the spiritual sensation. The body is not us. So anything physical is not really us, yeah?
By physical, I mean that I could feel, not that from the body.
Mm-hmm.
I misuse the words.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean you will feel it the same thing, yeah? And the longer you go the path, the more you see that the Buddha's teaching is right, yeah? I mean, that's how. I mean, I started and said, okay, yeah, that looks good, you know? And the longer I went the path, you know, I saw these amazing things that the Lord Buddha talked about. And one time, you know, I had 100% faith in the Lord Buddha. Yeah. Now I have 1,000%. There isn't anything that he taught, you know, is wrong. Yeah. The longer you go the path, you know, if somebody, you know, tells us, I mean, if you go this way, you know, then this and this, you know, you will end up in Beijing, yeah. And you go, you know, you have, you trust, yeah. I mean, you trust the Lord Buddha. That's what you have to have, yeah? You have to have trust, you know, that his teaching is okay. I mean, and you see a lot of monks here, you know, and you see a lot of disciples, you know, like Lungpu Man, Lungta Mahapo, Lungpu Chow, Lungpu Kao, who was just said over there, yeah? I mean, they all follow the path, you know? So, I mean, you develop this trust in these people, you know, and just go the path. And the longer you go the path, the more... I mean, you will cry of happiness because something so unimaginable happens to you, yeah? And you will feel grateful for that, you know? And that, you know, I mean, that really, you know, nourishes, you know, your faith and your trust, yeah? And the longer you go, that, I mean, there's no doubt about anything with the Lord Buddha. But there's doubt about the interpretations, you know, of other people, what they think the Lord Buddha said. That, of course, you know, I mean, you can go against that, yeah, but not, you know, I mean, about the real teaching. Yeah? They are the forests, you know, they are the caves, they are the mountains, you know. That's where you should go and practice, you know, alone, yeah. Not in groups, you know, not in meditation groups, you know, meditation session from 10 o'clock to in the morning to 10 o'clock in the evening, you know. Go there alone, yeah. That's a fearful place. That's where you should train, yeah.
Can you also gain faith by reading the sutras?
Yes, but that is, you know, you gain more trust than faith, yeah?
What would be the difference between trust and faith in the Buddha?
I mean, trust, you know, if you trust somebody, yeah? That is one thing. If you have faith, yeah? It is much deeper. Yeah? I mean, ask the Christians, you know, what, you know, ask Lucas, you know, between trust and faith, yeah? I mean, there's a difference, there's a strong difference. I mean, Lucas, don't throw it away, you know, just put it aside. Yeah? Like, okay, I'll just put it aside, yeah. At the moment, I'm not interested, yeah. And then in this way, you know, I mean, if you develop more trust and more faith, you know, in the Buddha's teaching, you know, I mean, it becomes more and more less relevant. And the questions that turn up, you know, is that right? You know, I mean, then just replace it with Buddha. You know? And see all these examples, you know, I mean, all these masters who have, you know, occupied, you know, Thailand, yeah? And why is it only in Thailand, you know, that there are so many Arahants?
Why is that?
Because the teaching is complete. I mean, the Lord Buddha said if the teaching is there only in scripts, you know, I mean, there will be no Arahants, no Arya. I mean, and he said only if there is Aryas around, you know, I mean, Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami and Arahants, yeah, that means that the teaching is alive. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just dead, you know, I mean, in books, yeah.
Are there still Arahants here?
Sure. Not as many as used to be, but there are still. One is living not far away here.
The one we saw?
Huh?
The one we saw?
I meant the
novice of
Lumpur Thunder Driven
Pobol Pang.
I'm not about this, I'm not 100% sure, yeah. But he's a good monk, yeah. Certainly. He might be, but I don't know.
We can't tell.
It is difficult to tell. I really would have, you know, to know more about him, yeah. I mean, just through seeing him, I mean, it is difficult because he's not acting, you know. I mean, he's not teaching, really. I mean, the moment he teaches, I mean, I can assess at least, you know. I mean, yeah. But Lumpur Li, yeah, who is around here, he's 100%, yeah.
No, I've heard that some Arahants don't have the skill of teaching.
That's right.
Separate. And so how would you be able to tell in that way?
Through his action. Then he teaches in a different way, just like Lumpur Li. Lumpur Li doesn't teach, yeah? But you just see it, you know, I mean, you get a feeling, you know, I mean, as I said, you know, an Arahant is not present. He has no ego, yeah? If you can see the difference, you know, between somebody who has an ego, yeah? But he has to act, yeah, in order to see that. Yeah? If he just lies on his bed, you know, I mean, it's very difficult to see and very difficult to judge. I mean, it, at least for me, yeah.
Kuba Mata brought me to... There's a temple down the street where an Arahant is the crystallization of his bones.
Lumpur Khao.
And I felt, you know, a very tangible energy. Yeah. It was almost as if I went in there and I was already in meditation just from being around it.
Yeah.
is that something that is entirely on my side?
No.
Or is that actually a...
That is, you know, I mean, when you are close to... I mean, ask him. There's a very famous tooth from the Lord Buddha in Sri Lanka. Yeah. I mean, there's an enormous energy, radiant energy around it. I mean, it's the same thing in the Kuti of Lungta Mahabua. There's lots of energy around it, radiant energy.
And so is that probably what you feel next to
a living aura? I mean, yes, you feel some of it, yeah, next to a living aura. But that is something, you know, that we can be easily deceived, yeah. But sometimes we just know. I mean, if you are good in meditation, you just know. Yeah? And there is no way, you know, how to convince other people of that, because their belief system, yeah? And in Christianity is a belief system. I mean, whatever they believe, that's the truth for them. Yeah? You can't argue against any belief system. Yeah? The person who believes this, you know, I mean, you can't argue. Yeah? And let him believe it. Yeah?
So can the ego disappear before you reach unbinding?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unbinding?
Unbinding.
Like unbinding, you mean nibbana? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. But the ego will become less and less, of course. Yeah. But it only will disappear at the moment of enlightenment.
Is unbinding when you're actually in nibbana, or when you stop producing karma?
Yes, when you stop producing karma. When you have seen the truth and when you have got rid of all the kilesas, that's when you unbind. Very seldom I hear this phrase unbinding. Yeah. Normally they say enlightened or free. Free from dukkha or unconditioned.
And at that moment where you stop producing karma, that's where in Theravada Buddhism you're considered to be enlightened.
Yes.
Because it seems like in either some Mahayana traditions or just in general with lay people, they think enlightenment is just a clear seeing of nature and like a total understanding of, you know, yourself, as opposed to when you reach that point where your karmic shackles are.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, I think that is one thing. Yeah, I mean clear seeing, clear understanding. I mean you can receive after you come out of Upachara Samadhi.
Yeah.
Yeah, but actually it is not even Sotapanna. Sotapanna is where the world topples. Yeah, that's where you really get an understanding. But you're still hard, you know. You're still bound by 7 fetters, yeah.
So can someone, you know, in that stage of samadhi, when you're in a non-dual state, can people live like that without being enlightened, without having reached?
Yeah.
But you're still producing karma.
Yeah. The moment you always come out. In that moment, you produce karma, be it good karma or bad karma or whatever. Yeah?
I once heard that an English teacher was in, I don't know what kind of samadhi it was, but it was said that he was in this state of samadhi all the time. They didn't use apana samadhi, neither upachara samadhi, they used another term, but it was something with samadhi. Is that possible to be in samadhi all the time?
Pretty much, yeah. Nearly all the time.
Still, it doesn't mean that you're an arahant.
No, nothing. I mean, an arahant is not always in samadhi. An arahant has not always sati. I mean, I believed that, yeah. Until I came to Wat Prabhantat, you know, and this thought arose me, and Arahant should always have sati. And then Lungta Mahabua, he was just teaching the lay people, said, some stupid people think, you know, an Arahant should always have sati. That's not true.
Has he thought this?
Instantly. I mean, that. lots of things, you know, the ideas that came from the West, you know, in the first 2 years, you know, whenever a stupid thought like that arose, you know, I mean, Lungta really, you know, pushed me off, you know, I said, oh, some people, you know, think like that, but that's not true, yeah.
Also with Eckhart Tolle.
Huh?
Also with Eckhart Tolle, when I read his books, I got the impression that it's all about being without any thought.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, he's teaching being in the present moment. He's not without thought. I mean, he has a lot of thought. I mean, he has to have thoughts, you know, to make these sessions, yeah. And he has to have some thoughts, you know, to collect money for these sessions, you know, and then use the money. I mean, without thought, you just sit there, you know, and do nothing. You have to have a thought to get up. Huh? I mean, that's why, you know, I mean, people really get screwed up if they are too long in samadhi and then think that's the thing, yeah. They don't notice even that they have thought. They think they have no thought, yeah? Because they have not really this awareness to see their intentions. Why am I doing the things that I'm doing? With what kind of results? Yeah? I mean, at least he eats, he sleeps, you know, he goes out, you know, and he gives all these sessions, you know, trying to convince other people that this is the... Yeah? And the people have to pay quite a lot of money for that. And that would, you know, puts me off, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of lay Dhamma teachers in America, they've kind of stripped Buddhism of the actual path, the arahantship, and they're just teaching being in the present moment in meditation because, you know, people now in, you know, corporate jobs and lay people, that's really their only interest in Buddhism. And
that's fine, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's, if people are meditating, that's always a good thing.
I mean, if you go into samadhi, I mean, you don't do, I mean, people say, you know, if we sleep, we don't do bad things, yeah? Mm-hmm. But that's not true. We still create karma of thoughts, yeah? But if you're in samadhi and without thoughts, then you don't create karma. So it's not a bad thing, you know, but, you know, I mean, of course, they stripped it of everything, yeah? And didn't leave anything, you know, and made their interpretation about, yeah, whatever. But if people are meditating, you know, some of them, you know, through the meditation or through the experience, then they will jump on, you know, and look for Buddhism, you know, for the real teaching. Yeah. And others, you know, I mean, they just, you know, just get their happy pill, yeah. And then they go back to work, yeah. And then on the next weekend they need their happy pill again, you know, so in order to maintain, yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's another form when you think about it, yeah. I mean, psychology was used to do that, you know, to keep people, you know, alive within the society they live in, you know, or be able to cope with the problem. And now you have, you know, another form of psychology, you know, for the masses, you know, and that is meditation. It doesn't change anything. People don't get wiser through meditation. They just rest, you know. I mean, it's just like people sleeping, yeah. Resting and energizing themselves.
Yeah, there's this fascination with retreats in America. Yeah. So people will go and meditate for a week.
Yeah.
And then they come back and they have all their same problems. And yeah, they're not of course. Investigating the root of what's going on. They're not being mindful. Yeah. You know, while they're outside of these retreats and trying to figure out where these is
happening. That's right. And that's why even after 20 years they are just as laden with problems and it's just like before. Yeah. We use samadhi, you know, to train sati, and sati is the tool, you know, that shines light on the problem. In investigation is that, you know, the tool, you know, that raises panya to understand what is going on. Okay? Oh, it's getting dark. I'm going.